another button onto my website to accommodate this coding, this recording. So thank you, Taylor. So yeah, that's the plan. So we're going to review the items that you had the most discrepancies on, according to the standard deviations of you all. And so we'll do a final training today, and then starting, you know, next week, you'll be using the scores queue to code real data that we're using for this study and for our poster. And Brian is going to be involved with distributing the transcripts to you all, so you'll hear more from him. Jeremy has a little, was that a party hat? A horn for Brian. So that's what we'll do. And then we'll continue meeting for labs, but the labs will be a little bit different. I think maybe we'll have breakout rooms. I think I can do that, but Brian is here to help me just in case. Actually, next week, because I most likely won't be here, Brian, you'll have to create the breakout rooms for all the pairs. And then what you would do is just mill about, you know, moving from one breakout room to another and checking to see if there are questions about discrepancies and so forth. So that's what we'll do.
Brian, are you coding?
As of right now, no. I'm just distributing. But if something were to happen, I would take the place of someone who isn't coding.
Yeah, the reason, Taylor, is that we have an odd number.
Yeah.
And so that's good for Brian, I guess. But if somebody were to drop out, then we'd be back to an even number, and then Brian would step in for that person. So yeah, that's
how. I also have the benefit of having like a very large lab. So
yeah,
yeah.
Also, for next week, Brian, do you think you should like logistically send us a Zoom because you won't be host of Dr. Goodman's Zoom, so you can put us in breakout rooms?
Yeah, probably. I'll definitely send that out after we're done for today.
All right, what? Because I'm not here to make him co-host, is that it?
Right. Or like, I think you have to be host to make breakout. Yeah. Yeah. So that would be the reason.
So like, Brian, you couldn't, if you tried right now, you couldn't create breakout rooms. Okay. I did not think that through. So thank you, Taylor, for pointing that out. I mean, there is an outside chance I will be here, but I think it's unlikely. So we'll go with that plan. So Brian, you'll take care of that.
Yes.
Okay, great. And send me the link too, just in case I do get back, I'll be able to join you guys.
Yeah, of course.
All right. So then what we'll do is you'll still send the ratings to me every week. So Brian won't get the ratings. I'll get the ratings. And then I'll create output files, an output file which will include everybody's ratings, and then you can look at the ratings and circle the ones that are discrepant by four or more. And those are the ones that you'll discuss in your breakout rooms with your partner. Everybody understand that? So we're moving into a new era of the lab. In which I'm going to be a little bit less involved. I'll be, flitting about from breakout room to breakout room, maybe not next week, but in subsequent weeks. And that's how that's going to work. And I'm going to answer questions. And Brian will do the same thing. He'll move about to answer questions. Because Brian and I are the only two who actually got trained legitimately this past summer by the two creator or co-creators of the instrument. I heard somebody say something.
Yeah, it was me.
Oh, hi.
Hi. So I'm just a little, so we're going to be put in pairs, and then we each code the transcript that Brian gives us separately. And then on whatever the next week, we'll come together and talk about it. Is that basically?
You did understand it. That's exactly how we're going to work this. By the way, since I see Lexi now, I want to share that I also calculated the mean reliabilities for each person for all five scores cues that you've done. And Lexi blew everybody out of the water. I mean, she was just so far ahead on all five scores cue ratings. So congratulations to Lexi. Rachel was second, actually. Rachel on the call. Congrats to Rachel, but she wasn't even really close. I mean, Lexi just was like way ahead of it. So I don't know what your secret is, Lexi, but maybe you could share it or sprinkle a little bit of the reliability dust on everybody.
Well, I tried to, Andy was asking me like the other day about.
Hey!
So, Dr. Goodman, it's so good to see you.
Hey, I'm glad you're interested in children and adolescents. Come and join us.
I can't believe we don't have you this semester again. It's really, it's depressing.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Anyways, thanks for going. Enjoy. Have a good night.
All right, thanks, Jack.
Yeah, so I was, Andy said this in the chat now, but I was trying to help her, like, with, or just tell her, like, what I did, but she said it really didn't work for her. So I don't know.
Well, what did you share?
Okay, so basically what I do, and I don't know if this is different from what anyone else does or special, but I take like all of the ones, unless I see that like in the transcript there's like severe delusions or psychosis or something, which there hasn't been, I like take all of those and put those in the ones first, because mm-hmm. like I know that's absolutely a one. And then I take the five most likely ones and I put those in the eight, and then I kind of like go backwards from there, and then all the ones that I'm unsure of I leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then by that time those are usually the most unlikely, and I just have to split them up between one and two, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. That's how I would do it. You know, in fact, when I coach people or train people on the CCQ or CPQ or PQS, it's 100 items, and it's a normal distribution instead of what we're doing now, which is a half normal distribution. I tell people to, you know, place the items in three piles and then just focus on the two extreme piles first. Once you get those nailed down, then you tackle the middle pile. I think it just makes it easier. That's how I do it anyway. It sounds like that's similar to what you're doing.
Yeah, because that's how you taught us to do the
CCQ.
So that's why I brought it over kind of and just modified it, since it's not like a normal distribution.
Yeah. Everybody hear that? I don't know if people also use that approach, but I would highly recommend it. Okay. All right. So let us, any other questions, by the way, before we move on? Nothing. Okay. So let me share my screen. Let me just open this up. Just give me a minute. Okay, and can everybody see that? So that's that, and then let me just okay. You guys still see the PDF, or are you seeing a Word document now?
PDF.
What?
We still see the PDF with the case summaries.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I get that. All right. So anyway, this is the output, everybody's ratings, and the highest standard deviations were for items 8 and 55. So let's take 8 first, and let's see what we got here. So already we got 1 and 8. So Brian and Mel are just on opposite ends of the spectrum here. But we got Elisa and Sorrel agreeing with Mel here on 1. And what do we have here? We've got 2, 1, 4, 1, 5, 4. So the 5 is higher. 4, 4, 7. So Lexi sort of agrees with Brian, and she was the highest reliability score. And then Mindy had an 8, which agrees with Brian. So Brian, you're not outnumbered. Well, you're outnumbered, but you seem to have good company. So
I was going to say, I was very nervous for a second.
So let's talk about item 8. I'm very excited to see what item 8 is. Item 8 is. Let me stop my share. And everybody see my Word document? Okay. So item 8 tends to show considerably more interest or insight into his or her own mental processes or personality than those of others. May speak with considerable insight or pseudo-insight about the self, but tend to offer minimalist descriptions of others' internal states or personality dispositions. Now, you know, Brian and Mindy and pretty much Lexi are saying, yes, this kid had much more interest or insight into his own thinking than other people. Anybody want to talk? Maybe some of the ones and eights can talk. But not all at once. I can't handle everybody.
I mean, I was just going to say, I felt pretty good about this one too, because I thought they showed like no insight into other people's processes. Everything that this patient did was like playing by themselves and, you know, interacting with the other, Thomas characters. It was the outside world almost didn't seem to exist for this other person, for this patient.
But I felt like there also wasn't any insight or much insight about the self. I just didn't feel like there was a lot of insight generally. And it doesn't, I mean, it only says it has to be more the self than others, if that makes sense.
So you're saying instead of like, let me just give a rating. Let's say insight into others 5, insight into self, or insight into others 1, insight into self 5. You're saying it's 0 to 0. So there's no discrepancy between levels of insight because they're both 0. And in that case, you put it in a lower pile. Is that your argument, Sorrel?
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe not 0, but you get the idea. Yeah.
1 = 1, something like that.
Sure.
But the child like gave some insight. I mean, very minimal, but still some insight into the characters that they were playing with. That's what I thought would have negated that, if that makes sense. Because I felt, I agree with Sora, like there's no like self kind of insight I felt. But I think
Even, oh, I see the repeating. Even beyond the repeating, though, because there was that kind of, like, moving part where the child was talking about, like, it's going to be scary to move, and, like, my mom's going to be there, or some, like, a mom's going to be there. Maybe I'm remembering wrong, but that's not why.
Here. Yeah, and, like, dad will help me move, and, well, and there's also, like, this other area where he's talking about people being afraid and, like, they have to help each other out. So I give it a 5, so I agree more toward self-insight. I mean, not self-insight. This kid doesn't have much, but more about the self than others. But I do think that there's some, like, he doesn't know if it's going to be scary. And I wonder if this person, he has different voices every week. He has simple feelings because it's easier for him to feel simple. Like, these are all other.
Yeah, and I'll make the argument that some insight is considerably more than the 0 insight for anyone else.
I think I definitely see it both ways. Even when I'm looking at it, I don't even remember rating this as high as I did, but maybe why I did was because I thought that his insight into others, again, with the repeating, is more just he was repeating. And also, I don't know if this counts, but it felt like more like most of the insight about others is really just a reflection of himself, and that might just be thinking too deep into it. But I think I would actually maybe go down a little bit from a 7.
Yeah, you know, I think the operative term here is considerably. You know, considerably more interest. It sounds as though, yeah, there's slightly more interest in self than others, but not considerably, because there's not much insight to work with anyway. So I think an 8 would be too high, and a 1 maybe too low. So can we meet more in the middle? Because I have a feeling this item is going to come up again and again. I mean, obviously it will. You have to rate it every week. But I think it's going to be a cause for concern. I have a feeling it's going to be. So we need to establish how to rate it in general. And I think the operative term here, as I said, is considerably more. I mean, it has to be a much, much greater interest and insight into one's own self and thinking processes than in others. And I'm not hearing from people that was the case. So that would automatically rule out an 8, maybe even a 7. On the other hand, a 1 might not be appropriate either, because there is some more interest or insight into his own or her own thinking than into others. So if we rule out, let's say, a 1 and a 2, but also a 7 and an 8, now we're down to 3, 4, 5, 6, which is, I can deal with that, right? Someone puts it in a 3, and another person puts it in a 6, well, that's only a difference of 3, and I can live with that.
Where is there examples of him having insight in and of himself, though? Because I couldn't find that, which is why I rated it as 1, not applicable.
All right. Brian, Mindy, and Lexi, show Jeremy. I actually have the transcript. I can pull it up. Is there a place where you'd like me to put in a keyword and find something?
I mean, the first thing that came to mind when we were talking about it was when he was talking about feeling excited and happy, but now I'm seeing here that he did say that he didn't know why, which would negate the fact that he had insight into his own processes. So, I have to keep looking, though.
Okay. I haven't been keeping up with the chat here. Let me see what's going on.
So I'm going to be the one because of the word considerably, because I just didn't think that this child had considerably insight into themselves. And it just felt like it was not applicable because of the interactions that they had with the toys and the dolls and the Thomas the Train. I didn't get a lot of like self-insight for that. But actually, as everyone's speaking, I'm kind of second guessing that. And I maybe would go up to a 3 where it's not in the not applicable piles, but it's still pretty low on that scale.
Well, let me put it this way. Can anybody show me any insight that this child is manifesting? Give me one example. I'm going to be Jeremy's advocate here, not the devil's advocate. Any example at all?
I guess I'm confusing self-interest with self-insight, because looking over it now, yeah, it doesn't look like the child has self-insight despite having a lot of self-interest in their own activities.
Yeah, it says, I don't know, are you able to see the item now? Or do I have to stop, share, and then...
Yeah, it's the transcript.
All right, so let me... I can easily toggle back and forth between PDFs, but it won't let me do that with... with the Word document. Okay. Considering more interest or insight, but the interest is in one's own mental processes, which is sort of like insight, right? I have an interest in how I think, why I think the way I think, or how I feel and why I feel the way I feel. There's an interest there. I mean, insight and interest are very similar. They're being used in a very similar way here. So I'd like to hear some examples of that.
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of like the lack of interest in other people is demonstrating their... It's kind of like circular logic. Like, how do we know that there's interest in his own her own mental processes? Well, because there's no interest in the other mental processes. Like, the examples that I would give are just, like, him or her, whatever gender this child is, playing with the toys himself, kind of barely answering questions. Yeah, exactly what Sorrel said.
So I don't think that's a basis on which we should rate this item. I think it would go in a non-applicable pile because, you know, there's nothing there. There's nothing to code, really. You know, just because he doesn't have insight into others doesn't mean that he has insight into himself, and this should be rated more highly. It's this considerably, there's a differential here. Considerably more is really what we're looking at. And if you got, let's say that you have two bowls and both bowls are empty, you wouldn't say that one bowl has more in it than the other if they're both empty bowls, right? I think this kid is an empty bowl. He has an empty bowl when it comes to his insight into himself. And he has an empty bowl when it comes into insight into others. Both bowls are empty. So you can't say that he shows considerably more interest or insight into his own mental processes or personality than those of others. If the other's bowl is empty, Okay, then you think, okay, well, there must be something in the self bowl. But if the self bowl is also empty, then there's no more. It's they're equal, you know, zero equals zero. If both bowls are empty, you can't rate this item. Can we agree on that? So given that understanding, I would tend to agree with the ones in the group. All right. We're good with that. This is why we're training. This is really, this is good for us to figure this stuff out. All right, let me share my screen again.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So for this item, in the play therapy context, if a child is playing as a character and as that character, I don't know, let's say Thomas the Train, I'm Thomas the Train, and Thomas the Train feels happy because Thomas the Train's engine works. Let's say that's the example.
Yep.
Would that be rated as insight into self if they're playing as a character?
That's a good question. I would say that's other.
Oh, insight is other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying too, and I think that's why I rated it high, because I saw him reflecting about himself and other characters. But so if we say
yeah,
that,
that's what's confusing.
I think the self is the self. If he's pretending to be a train, you know, it's a good question. But the train would be other. You know, this is a coding system that really hasn't been used with kids. So we can sort of make up our own rules as we go along.
So can that be a rule that we stick to for the future?
Yeah, I think so. I think self would be related to the self, the child. The child, I'm feeling blah, blah, blah. Or this is why I'm feeling this way. Or I think this way because of this. That's self. But other is anything else. The therapist, parents, characters in play, everything else is other. So Thomas, he's pretending to be Thomas the Train. He's pretending, he's voicing the character of Thomas the Tank Engine. Thomas the Tank Engine is an other. That's how I would define that. People agree with me, disagree with me? I think it's a leap to assume that Thomas the Tank Engine is a self-representation. It might be, but and if I were a clinician, I were wearing my clinician's hat, I might say, oh, this is him. But we're not doing that. We're doing research. And in research, we're much more cautious in the assumptions we make. We're much more critical, and we think this through. And well, it's not technically himself. It's a representation of a tank engine. It's a train. So I'd be more prone to viewing that as interest in others. Not that he had any, but to answer, I mean, Mel provided an illustration of something, and I'm hoping that helps people understand for future transcripts how to code this item. I think it's a challenging item to code. Are we good? Yes, so Sorrel agrees with me. I'm looking at the chat now. All right, let's move on if we're good with item 8. Let's move on to item 55. Let me see what that is first. Item 55.
For the record, we've never had a problem with 55, I don't think. So we're making progress.
All right. So we're making regress. We're getting worse.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I'm just kidding. 55 tends to provide particularly coherent narrative accounts of interpersonal events, interpersonal vignettes appear to be guided by an overall gestalt of the event with a problem or tension state that builds and is ultimately resolved. The subject may offer a moral, meaning, or punchline to give the account coherence. So how coherent, and this is coded under complexity of object representations, how coherent is his account or his storytelling? So we go back and let's see what people did with this. We have Mel in 8 thought he was extremely coherent in his storytelling. I can explain. But then we're followed by 3 ones in a row. Wow. Look at that difference. 1 and 8. This is why, you know, there's such a big discrepancy in the standard deviation. We got, let's see what we got down here. We got 2, 8. So Eli agrees with Mel on this one. We got 5, 4, 1. Taylor has the extreme pile there. 6, 1. Rachel also extreme. 6 and 3. So everybody's all over the place on this one. How do we fix this?
So I'll start by saying mine doesn't belong in an 8.
Okay.
I'm not sure why I put it in an 8. I definitely think that I would never put it in a 1 or 2. So I do think that, you know, the review is somewhere in the middle. I'd probably put it between a 3 and a 6.
All right.
And the reason being that, you know, there were times where he was more coherent than others, but he was generally able to communicate in a way that, you know, was comprehensible when the therapist asked specific questions. At the end of the transcript where he tells the whole story, even though that was a little bit confusing, it wasn't completely incoherent.
All right. So you put it, what, like a 4?
Yeah, I'd put it in a 4 or 5.
Well, Jeremy joined team 4.
All right, so let's do 4.
I also wouldn't keep it in an 8 if I can jump in.
Okay, where would you put it?
So this was an item where I was like, okay, do I want to try to be like reliable? And because I thought the technicality of that story at the end and a few other narrations that the child did over the storyline of Thomas and whatever, I think he was really just kind of repeating it, but I thought that he gave a lot of details and a lot of coherence in that story, and I figured, okay, maybe other people will stick to the technicality of that, so let me just put it really high because there is that evidence. But I don't actually think that was like his own coherence. He was just repeating and reciting, so that's why I would lower it. I'm not really sure where I'd put it. Just, I don't think it should be 6, 7, or 8.
Yeah, and does he provide a moral to the story?
I don't know. Do you want to pull?
Yeah, I haven't.
Just, I remember being like, oh my God, this is like such a elaborate depiction.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've read this.
But I don't think there's a moral.
Give me a key word.
If you just scroll all the way at the end.
Okay.
Okay, we actually scroll up. Yeah, like that huge paragraph where he starts. Okay, where is he? Summertime is always beautiful on the island of Sodar. Like,
oh, here
I was
we
like,
go.
Okay.
So ask the question, like, does it count if he's clearly reciting something he memorized or something he's reading? Like,
right.
As yeah, we talked
about this a little bit last week too, didn't we?
Yeah.
But you know, what's missing here is the moral. You know, he doesn't break away from the story and say, you know what this means? This means that, you know, people should get along because we can help each other. and we're stronger as a team than we are as individuals. You know, that's the moral of his story, right? At least that's how I read it. He doesn't say any of that. So already I'm not looking at an 8 or a 7. I'm looking further down than, regardless of whether he memorized it or not, it can't be a 7 or an 8 because I don't hear any moral to the story. He's not doing what I just did, you know, creating some kind of meaning for the story to exist. Am I right? What?
I was going to ask that about the part where he's telling, are you talking about when he's saying, like, they have to help each other, even if they're angry, like, they have to stick together.
Yeah, okay. I'm broken. The Diesels have learned a lesson, but he still will be rude. We're all going to have a meeting. That's what engines are saying to the Diesel. That's pretty angry with each other, huh? Yeah. So they're going to try to work things out. Yeah, they want to be useful. They need to work together. We don't want to work with stinky steamies. We don't want to work with dirty Diesel either. They have to push and pull so that it'll be useful. We all agree.
Yeah, I feel like that's a resolution, but they don't talk about the moral, though.
Yeah, the Diesels have learned a lesson. Okay, what lesson did they learn?
I think for this one, I rated it a 1. I don't know if that's a little too low, but when I read this one, I focus a lot on when it says the subject may offer a moral meaning or punchline to give the account coherence. And I didn't see that much. And I think when I read these, because they're all children, I automatically think a lower side for this one. So I usually start with a 1, and I think I just kept it in a 1 because of the morals. And, like, it didn't seem like the whole thing as a whole, it didn't seem so coherent to me.
Okay. Well, I think a 1 is too low. I think there is some coherence here.
Yeah, I think a 1 is definitely too low.
Okay.
Like, I think whenever I look at item 55, I definitely start lower. But I do agree that a 1 might be a little too low, like maybe a 3 or maybe a 4.
Right, because what we're reading here is not word salad. I mean, I read this and you know, I can follow the story, right? It's not, I don't mean to offend anybody. It's not like a Trump rally where it's kind of like free association. This actually has a beginning, a middle, and an ending. It seems to hang together. I don't hear a moral. I don't understand why he's sharing this story. What's the meaning of the sharing of it with his therapist? I don't understand any of that. But you know, I can sort of follow what happens here, and I can create my own moral of this story, and I shared it with you. I think the moral of the story is that, I mean, if you want a moral, there's sort of one here. I'm underscoring it with my mouse. I don't know if people can see that. Steamies and Diesels need to work together. That's sort of the theme, but I think I want a little bit more than that. I think it's the idea that entities, whether they're trains or people or animals, you know, we need to work together. And when we do that, we can achieve more working on a team together than we can individually. So he comes a little bit close here, but Steamies and Diesels need to work together. But then, you know, the question then becomes, did he memorize that? Is that part of the story? Or is he actually deriving his own moral from the story? And if he's doing that, I think it's fairly accurate, but I would want more than Steamies and Diesels need to work together. It's sort of staying at that very concrete level. You know, it's like a rolling stone gathers no moss. What does that mean? Well, it means when the rock is moving, you know, there's no moss on it, you know, and if you guys have, you know, rated, Waces, those of you who are doctoral students, you know that would be a rather concrete, it wouldn't get a full score because, you know, it's not really dealing with what it really means. It's staying still at the fairly concrete level, and he's still kind of doing that. Does that make sense?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So I know, like, the coherency, I totally agree, it's fairly coherent, especially for a child. But I felt like other items fit that better. And since this one, like, other items were discussed, like coherency, mm-hmm. in this, and this one specifically mentions that, like, the moral of the story. So then, shouldn't I rate this one, like, lower, or should I rate it more on, like, the scale, because it does have coherency? Does that make sense?
I think it is true that because it's a Q sort, you're rating every item in relation to every other item. On the other hand, I think you should take each item on its own merits and try to place it as best you can where you think it really belongs. And of course, if it's a forced choice distribution, so if you feel forced to move it down or move it up, you're going to do that in order to conform to the specified number of items in each pile. But I do think you need to, like, try to place it where you think it really belongs, and ignoring, well, where do the other coherence items go? You know, like, this item, let me just check. This item, 55, is a fairly highly rated item. So it's C41. So 4 is the level. And that's I think that's the highest level, isn't it? That an item can be?
I think it's 5.
Oh, 5? Okay, thank you. So it's almost, oh, go ahead.
I commented that in the chat. I think that, like, I look at that now. I look at the levels. And because it was a 4, I thought there's no way a kid can really be so high on this level, because it would be very high, like, functioning.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of this item.
It is the highest item for social causality. That okay. is there. Like, even though it's a 4, it's the highest one for that category.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that since it didn't hit all of the marks in the item, that it shouldn't have been rated higher or even that high at all. But I'm guessing that since if part of it hits, I should still put it higher than, like, uncategorized kind of ideal.
Yeah, you're right. This is a social causality item. You know, I don't like the initials that they use to label these items. They're kind of confusing, but actually C is social causality. I thought it was complexity of object representations. Of course, those two dimensions are fairly overlapping with each other, but let me just check to make sure what you're saying is correct, Elisa. Just give me a minute. You are correct. This item is the highest item in the social understanding of social causality dimension. And there's only one example at a 4. And I guess we could look at the other items that are under this dimension. There's quite a number of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 7 items under the social causality domain. I don't know, I could see a 5. I know are people down with a 5, or is that too high?
Look at what I put in the chat.
I see that. I don't think we can rate these items as yes or no. I think we really do have to think about them on a continuum. It's not either it's coherent or it's not. There are degrees of coherence.
Right, but I would have rated highly on fairly coherent or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is, like, a true statement, I think.
Right. So this one you would rate. So maybe you could put this one in a 3 or something. What do you think?
Maybe 2.
I think the argument for a lower rating would be The subject may offer a moral meaning or punchline to give the account coherence. That we don't see very much of. And there's a weak attempt at it. And that weak attempt, you know, steamies and diesels need to work together is pretty weak. I mean, it's still fairly concrete. He's not really describing the underlying moral here, which is that people need to work together in order to accomplish goals that we can't achieve independently of each other. To me, that's the moral of this story. From what I read from what he said, he doesn't really go that to that abstract level. So he can't possibly get a 6 or a 7 or an 8. At least that's how I'm reading this. A 2 maybe. I'm looking more at a 5, maybe a 4. Anybody else want to chime in? Look, 2, 3, 4, 5 would be okay because 5 minus 2 is 3. So you're only 3 away from each other. All right, 4 or 5, yes. Okay, sounds good. All right, well, let's move on to the next one and see how we do with that. The next one is number 6. We've got Mel at 2, Brian at 3, Elisa at 5. Sorrel at 5. So far, not too bad. Myrov at 1. So that's an extreme rating. Eli at 3. Andy at 1. Jeremy at 8. He's extreme on the other end. So you can see why we have the high standard deviation. We've got 1s and 8s. Anytime there are 1s and 8s, that's bad. Not that the rating is wrong necessarily. I don't know whether it is or not, but I'm just saying for reliability purposes, you got ratings on the total opposite ends of the spectrum, which really messes up inter-rater reliability, as you might imagine. We got Taylor at 7, high, Teresa at 5, Rachel at 8, another extreme rating, Lexi at 7, which is pretty high, and Mindy at 1, all the way on the other end. So we can see the problems here. So it's item 6, right? So let's see what item 6 is. Sees people at times as all good or all bad. May describe people with global and univalent traits such as nice or evil. This may apply to the same person at two different points in time, who is split into good one moment and bad another. May describe people with complexity, but complex representations tend to be affect driven. That is, fueled by an underlying sense of the person as all good or all bad. So we get the idea here. This is under complexity.
Yeah. I didn't think, the reason I gave it a 1 is because I just didn't think it was relevant. Like, I don't think he does any splitting. I think it's true that he definitely will use like one term for one of the trains, but that was more what the trains were referred to in the Thomas series, but I see that Sorrel's saying something else. What are you saying, Sora? Sorry.
I wasn't trying to like interrupt you, so you could finish what you're saying. Kind of separate.
Are you guys in the same room?
No.
Okay.
I need your volume.
So I think Sorrel is saying that there was some splitting, if I understand her chat comment.
Hey, Rob, I put a 1 as well because I agree with you. And like, there, even when he did use the negative terms for the diesels and the steamies, he ended up resolving it, so it wasn't split. It wasn't like a dichotomous extreme to me. So that's why I put one.
Yeah, I'm with Andy and Mirov. I also put it as a one for that reason.
Because he resolved it.
Yeah, and also I didn't see the splitting. Like I saw the words, but it didn't. Yeah.
But just because a conflict is resolved does mean that they understand that a person can be both good and bad. When he was describing the steamies, it was like, this steamies bad. Well, I don't know if it specifically said bad or good, but was describing the steamies as a dichotomy, like fighting against each other.
Yeah, I hear that, but I feel like that was more of a reflection of like, that is literally what happens in those episodes, every single TV show. But when it came to thinking about people, I didn't see that he like was even on the level that he would be splitting. Like he just wasn't really thinking in that way.
I think what Sorrel mentioned though, like about the brother, is definitely an instance where like all bad is seen. You know, the brother is never mentioned again and only mentioned in that negative light. And I also felt like when the child mentioned Thomas, portraying Thomas specifically, he mentioned Thomas in a really positive light and never any negatives about that character. Whereas I agree that you guys are right. Like when he mentions the Steamies and the Beezles, that conflict is resolved and he almost does say like, yeah, they work together. So that could give them like a positive effect in the end. But I think that those two scenarios kind of bring in that good and bad a bit.
So can we say that this item should not be rated a 1 or a 2 or a 7 or an 8? Can we agree on that? What?
I would settle for a 3.
A 3?
Yeah, I was going to say, I would bring it to a 4 probably.
Also, just in terms, sorry, we're sitting next to each other, of like people are bringing up resolution, but in the item it did say that it could, you could see them at different, like all good at one point or all bad at another point. So like, even if it's resolved and they don't see them as all bad anymore, I thought that because the item said you could be either or, then it was okay.
It was okay, meaning, can't hear you.
Sorry, what did you say? I couldn't hear you.
You said at the end, I forget what you said now, but you...
I was saying that because a lot of people were bringing up the resolution as a reason why they wouldn't rate it higher, but I was saying in the item, it said that, you know, it could, like someone could be seen as all good at one point, but at another time seen as all bad. So the resolution made me think that it didn't really play a factor for me.
Oh, it didn't play a factor. Okay, got it. Brian, what do you think?
I think if it resolves that, even if it goes back to all good or all bad later, I wouldn't consider that like not splitting, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I think it just, at one point, they struggled with it, but by being able to resolve it, at least at one point, you're not splitting, like, entirely, which is kind of how I view this part, which would make me incline that, like, it wouldn't be higher than if they are able to come to a resolution, even if they go back to it at some point. So if we're knocking out the extremes, I think that leaves us at, like, 3-4.
Yeah, I agree with that. Can we all coalesce around a 3 or a 4? We're good with that?
Yeah, I think it definitely belongs in a 4 or 5.
Yes, everything's going into a 4, Jeremy. We need 4 to be the biggest. You see, what Jeremy's getting at sort of is like the normal distribution. And unfortunately, you know, Drew Weston created this particular Q sort as not normally distributed. So why would Dr. Shin be proud?
he's teaching us that. So we've been talking extensively about how the normal distribution is just everywhere in nature.
Oh, okay. All right. Not in this nature. Not in Drew Weston's nature. So, you know, we will we'll continue to monitor that. But, yeah, unfortunately, pile four has only 5 slots. So, not 5 slots. It has 3 slots, right? Wait, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I was right the first time, right? Yes, 5 slots. Right. Okay. All right, so let's move on to the next item. Number 30. We got 8-2. Already we got extremes here. Well, you guys, Mel and Brian, were really in deep conflict. 1-8, 8-1, 8-2. Wow. All right. Another 8 from Elisa. 6. 4, 6, 8, 6, 1 from Taylor. So we got Andy and Taylor on opposite ends. We got Teresa 6. You can see again why there was such a wildly high standard deviation. So, or here. So item 30, let's see what that is. Tends to express conventional sentiments of friendship, caring, love, and empathy in words and actions, has meaningful, conventional relationships, is able to continue caring about people, even in the face of disagreements, conflicts, or misunderstandings, shows genuine warmth in describing significant others, is generous in accepting the faults and foibles of other people. Just want to see. This is for in emotional investment in relationships. So, you know, it's been a while since I've read this transcript, but I'm telling you, based on my understanding, I don't see this. I don't understand the 8s and 7s. Okay.
This is like for the kid. This is not the truck, the trains. Like I see the 8s and 7s in that, like I put it as a 1 because I don't see it in the kid. But the trains were working together to help each other at one point, and they like to be useful and help and work together. So I don't know if that was like interpreted as caring and like coming together, but that's still the train. It's not the kid.
Right.
See, the way I look at it, I felt like the kid was almost like friends with these characters. Like, if that makes sense, I felt like the way that he treated them and the way that he portrayed them gave that investment in others and like their relationships with each other. And I thought last time we kind of said that we were raiding the trains and all of that fantasy part. So I guess that's where the high rating came from. I could see it being lower than an 8 for sure. I think I'm a little high there, but I think that's why.
All right, Searle said he spoke warmly of mom. Can you show us where that is? Is there a key word?
It's when he's saying that mom will be there and that'll make everything okay. I don't remember exactly where it was.
In the section about moving.
Yeah.
Any of these look good on the left? Can you see this or no?
Yeah, it's on page 4. You could look up, you could do mommy. Don't worry, his mommy is going to be with him all the time. That's the first chair. Sometimes mommy can't be there all the time. That can be a bit scary.
That was the therapist saying that.
Right, and then the kid, but just the mom will have to go to work at the end, which will make the kid not scared. But this is still all about the toys.
He also talks about making friends, I think, in the beginning. If you type in friend, it might show up.
That that moving section, I actually don't think is about the train. I think it's still about the play, but it's a different
play. Elise is right. Well, sometimes people feel happy because they made a new friend and they had fun with friends. Now, that's the therapist talking.
Right, but then after he says, right, I did. So I don't know. It's like a little example. I mean, I think I put it in the middle because I didn't really see it so much, but it's a slight example, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's kind of weak. And also, you know, we have to consider the possibility that the story that he tells at the end is you know, memorized. So how much really has he internalized regarding, you know, conventional friendships? I mean, let's look at the item again. Tends to express conventional sentiments of friendship. Conventional is kind of the operative word here. Sentiments of friendship, caring, love, empathy in words and actions. Meaningful, conventional relationships. Able to continue caring about people, even in the face of disagreements, conflicts, misunderstandings. Someone mentioned his brother. Would that be relevant here? Shows genuine warmth in describing sibling. Do you see genuine warmth when he describes others? Generous in accepting the faults and foibles of other people. Oh, that's okay. I guess you'd see this a little bit when the mom goes to work. He seems okay with that. So that's not really a fault or a foible, but he's tolerating something that might make him anxious. So what about the brother? I think, Searle, you had mentioned the brother earlier.
But that was for a different item.
You don't think
the very negatively and like very, very briefly. So I definitely don't think it would apply here.
Okay.
But I have a question. Yep. I feel like, I know, especially towards the end, there's like a lot of repetitiveness, but don't some of the therapist's questions negate some of that like copy and paste portion? Because they're like, the questions can't go hand in hand with every single.
That's absolutely true.
And so I felt like if when the child's saying like, the therapist asks, like, how would they feel about this? And the child says, like, oh, well, they don't have feelings. And she's like, okay, but if they did, what would they feel? Mm-hmm. And they give some, like, examples of that. It's, like, early in the beginning.
Beginning?
Like, yeah.
Can you think of a keyword?
I know that they mentioned, like, angry, sad, and happy as the three, I think.
I'm not sure what made me so happy.
No, it's well, if he did have feelings. You searched that up.
What's that?
Well, if he did have feelings. If he did have feelings,
uh-huh. I guess the only feelings he would feel for his whole life are happy, sad, and angry. That's the only feelings, the feelings he would have. I mean, he's just regurgitating three feelings. And they're not really illuminating any character. You know, so Thomas has feelings except him. He doesn't have any feelings. Right. Oh, what if he had feelings? What do you think he would feel? Well, if he did have feelings, I guess the only feelings he would feel for his whole life are happy, sad, and angry. He's just listing feelings. That's the only things, the feelings he would have. Oh, how come he would only have three feelings? I'm not sure. I guess maybe it's easier to have fewer feelings. Yeah. What do you think would make him happy? I think he would be happy when the wind was not strong and he could fly, because when the wind's too strong, then Harold cannot fly. Yeah, very concrete, right? And that's how I'm looking at it. Andy, those are conventional emotions, but he's not using them in a conventional way. He's just listing them. Like, I was getting a haircut. Yes, I do still get haircuts occasionally. And I was in the barbershop, and there was a father with his son waiting for me to finish. And the father said to the son, you know, what are the three states of matter? And, you know, the kid didn't know what that was. And so the father said, you know, solid, liquid, and gas. And the kid just memorized it, but I don't think he really understood what solid, liquid, and mass was. He's just saying solid, liquid. And so the father kept, the kid wanted a lollipop in the barber shop, right? And the father said, I'm not going to give you the lollipop until you can tell me the three states of matter. And of course, the kid rattled off solid, liquid, and gas. Okay, here's your lollipop. And I'm observing all this in the barber's chair, right? But this kid doesn't have any understanding of the three states of matter, right? He's just memorizing them and regurgitating them to his father. Yes, emotion. He didn't have an emotional investment in it. And so this kid is saying, so the therapist says, whoops. The therapist says, you know, what if he had feelings? What are those feelings? And what does this kid say? Ah, happy, sad, angry, who knows? I'm making this up a little bit, but you see what I'm saying? Like, he's memorized labels for emotions. They don't mean anything. And that's how I'm reading this. There's no meaning attached. How come he only have three feelings? I'm not sure. I guess maybe it's easier to have fewer feelings. And of course, the kid just agrees to get along with the therapist. Yeah. So I'm not seeing a whole lot of conventional understanding here. I'm seeing a kid who's memorized the labels for three feelings and is spitting them back to the therapist. That's how I'm reading this. Yes, and so Sorrell says he cannot understand people and still be heavily invested. I don't know, is this resonating with anybody? Or let's go back, we can go back to the item itself, number 30. Tends to express conventional sentiments of friendship, caring, love, and empathy in words and actions, has meaningful conventional relationships, is able to continue caring about people even in the face of disagreements, conflicts, or misunderstandings, shows genuine warmth in describing significant others, is generous in accepting the faults and foibles of other people. You know, I'm reading this, I'm just thinking, I'm looking at it as a three, and maybe that's being generous. I don't see, I think 6, 7, and 8 are just way too high.
I just have a comment in general.
For yeah.
Transcript. I feel like it was really hard to code, at least personally, because so much of it seemed like rote memorization. And even it's hard because, for the ones, you can put, I think, 47, right?
Yes.
And the twos, you put 16, but there's only so many that, you kind of, force certain items yep. to get higher than they should be. And so I feel like with all of these that we're discussing, for example, this one, I think I put it as a 5, and, I could see why I would come down to, a 3, Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it could have been that there were like a lot of other items that I saw fitting.
That's true. Anytime that we do Q sorting, Lexi, I agree with you. But that's the common problem with Q sorting, right? You know, we're not rating this item absolutely like you would in Likert type scales. Likert type scale, you can give all the items a score of 4, but we have to pay attention to where we're placing all the other items at the same time. It makes it much more challenging. I agree. So let's see where we get next week. I think, if you guys think this is helpful, we can also spend some of our time next week continuing to review some of these items. Would that be helpful? I mean, we'll start Q sorting for real, but we can return to this transcript next week for a little while and talk about it. Would that be helpful or no? You guys just want to move on?
I personally think we should move on.
Okay.
We've already spent too long on this transcript. I'm like so
sick. That's true. That's, you guys are sick of it.
Yeah, I also think that we're learning how to code this transcript at this point versus kind of everything else.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope that's not completely true, Brian. I hope that...
Oh, no. But I think, like, if we spend more time on it, like, we're really just perfecting this transcript.
Right,
I
okay. Think. All right. So what I'll do is...
Am I sending one or two out?
Well, how long did it take? Let's do one just for next week and see how that goes. I think now that we're easing into the real sample, I think we want to be careful. Okay. So let's do one. And then we'll think about bumping it up to 2 for the remainder of the semester.
Okay.
All right. So we have 52 transcripts, I believe, to code. And so we'll just plow through. We got what? We'll have 6 teams with 52 transcripts. So that's 8 weeks and change, right, Brian? Maybe 9 weeks?
Yeah, I was going to say divided by 6. That's only if we're doing 1 per week, so we might not even need to do 2 per week.
Yeah, okay, so let's do... Large. Let me guess. I imagine most of you, maybe not all, but most of you want to do only 1 per week. Am I right, or anyone want to do 2 per week? Oh, Mel has a heart. Anyone want to do 2 per week? Wow, that's very surprising. I don't quite understand it, but all right. So we'll do 1 per week. So, but we'll really analyze the hell out of that one transcript in each team. So we'll keep it at that. Oh, Sorrel would like to do 2 in the future.
I said I would be open to it.
You come in.
I want to say something. So I'm going to pair Sorrel with somebody else, and that other person's going to kill me.
I don't think I can commit 24 hours to lab this year. 2 per week would require that.
Is that what you wanted to say, or you wanted to say something else?
No, that's what I was going to. That's what I wanted to say, because this week I only spent like 5 hours on the transcript, and it showed in my score. So I know that like 7 is the minimum for me.
Wow.
So I'm physically.
No. I get it. Yeah, let's keep it at 1.
Like a totally me problem.
I think it works. I just know traditionally we have done 2 transcripts per week, but we actually don't need to based on the number of transcripts, number of groups. So.
Yeah, that's right. And I was being facetious, so don't mind me. I just wanted to see what people would say. But I'll see everybody next week, and have a great rest of your week. Mel, is that true? You want to do 3 a week? Jeremy says you do.
Live, all live. I'm going to sign out. Bye, everyone. Have a good night.
All right, I'll see you guys next week, all right? Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Are there good men?
Yes.
Can I just ask you two questions?
Yeah. You had said you wanted to talk with me. Yeah.
Yeah. So first, just following up,
Before you start, can I just stop the recording?
Oh, yeah.